This is, I don't know if you're aware, but this is typically how my conversations with Brad goes. Brad, man, how you doing? What's going on? Tell me, what are the plans for today? And he's just, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I keep talking and I'm like, Brad, man, what's going on? How are you, man? Mm-hmm. Brad, hey. It's what I have to do. And so he's in the office, and finally I just have to get up and I have to go over there. Oh, man, I'm sorry. I was studying so hard I just couldn't hear you. It's a one-way conversation. You guys ever had those one-way conversations with anyone ever? How many of you have children? Have you ever had a one-way conversation with any of your children? Come on, be honest. Yeah? If you've had a one-way conversation with your child, one point or another, ever stand up. Come on, be bold. I dare you. Wow. The rest of you just didn't want to stand up. So here we are. It's a reality. It happens, right? There are times in our lives where we try and have a conversation with someone and they're not participating in the conversation. And it's difficult because you're really trying to pour your heart out to someone, or you're really trying to get some information. So you're sharing something hoping that you'll receive information back. And a lot of times that's just not the case. So what do you think God thinks of us when, you know, he calls us to prayer? He tells us to go into our quiet room. Matter of fact, let me share with you Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 says this. It says, but you, when you pray, or when you communicate to me, ultimately is what God is saying, when you communicate to me, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So God requires of us this set pattern for prayer. God really desires that we step into our prayer closet, so to speak. He desires that we come in this little area right here. This is my safe place. This is the area where I come, where I can get on my knees and I can pour my heart out to God, or then I can get over here at my little desk and I've got a pen and I've got some paper and I have my Bible and I can listen for God to respond back to me. And I'm able to write down, okay, Lord, I hear you. And you write down, maybe just be a word. It may be a verse. You write a verse down. You've read something specifically and God is speaking to you through that specific verse, and you're understanding it in a brand new light. Well, God loves it when his children come before his throne to talk with him. We just don't do a really good job of it some of the times, do we? And then there are those occasions when we're really praying and we think we're doing a dynamite kind of bang-up job, and we don't feel like we're getting any response from God. And so we're going to look at the scripture today. There are really about five things that I want to submit to you this morning concerning prayer, intercession prayer, the power of prayer, the importance of prayer. I don't care what you title it, but God has certain requirements from us. And we're going to look at these this morning. And we're going to see, as we're continuing on our journey, just the basics as we look at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Listen to what the scripture says again. I want to ask you to go on and stand in honor of the reading of God's word. You've heard it and you've heard it and you're going to hear it a few more times, but listen to the scripture. Verse 42 says this, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Very important. They were learning the word and they were fellowshipping together. Then it says, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. That's good, isn't it? So they were praying, not just one type of prayer, you heard? It's very plural here. And in prayers, it says, lots of different kinds of prayers they were lifting up to God. It says, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now, all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their bread with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So pray with me. Father in heaven, in the matchless name of Jesus today, we approach your throne. We ask Lord, that you hear our hearts. And Father, that we would just be still and listen for your response. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, here's the key. They devoted themselves to prayers. They devoted themselves to prayers. Listen to it. They devoted themselves to prayers. How many of you have got a set prayer that you pray? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I shall die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That's your prayer at bedtime. Right? It's good to learn, you know, some semblance of a prayer as children, but that becomes very, very meaningless as we continue to pray because we just go through the motions of prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. Now I lay me down to sleep. Every night it's the same thing. Now I lay me down to sleep. Now I lay me down to sleep. Or even the Lord's Prayer. There's so many times throughout my sports life where we would get together as the football team and we would just pray. And it was just repetition. It was repetition. It was repetition. We say the same thing over and over and over again without any indication or inclination of what God really requires of us as believers. So there's some things that I want to share with you this morning concerning God's expectations for us when it comes to prayer. Matter of fact, in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, this is what was said. The disciples went to Jesus and said this, "Lord, teach us to pray." The question wasn't, will you teach us to preach? It wasn't, will you teach us to lay hands on people? It wasn't, will you teach us to speak in tongues? It wasn't anything other than, Lord, will you teach us how to pray? So there's some important things that we need to understand about prayer. Amen? We need to get that. We need to begin to understand the concept of prayer. Andrew Murray said this. He wrote in relation to his people, God works only in answer to their prayers. It is in prayer that we exchange our natural strength for the supernatural strength of God. So here it is. I'm praying. I'm pouring my heart out to God. And I'm saying, okay, Lord, I can't do it, but I'm giving it to you and I'm trusting that you will. Supernatural strength. God's ability to be able to in his divine way, meet whatever need you have. Whatever need you have. And so R.A. Torrey said this. It said, nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer except that which lies beyond the will of God. So I'm just going to share with you, we have to learn how to pray, friends. If we want to have this dynamic ability to communicate with God, then you and I have to learn what God's expectations for us in this category are. We've got to get it right because we approach his throne so frivolously, I believe, a lot of times, don't we? We don't need to do that. And so I want to share with you some things this morning, I believe, that are pertinent to a dynamic prayer life. Number one is this. You got your bulletins. You can turn those things over on the back. Number one is this. This is how we've got to start it. Listen, you've got to confess your sin. That's it. It's very simple. Very to the point. Before we can really approach the throne of God, you've got to understand that there is unconfessed sin in your heart, and God expects you to confess that sin, to repent of that sin, before you can believe that he's ever going to answer any prayer that you ever cry up to him. First of all, you have to humiliate yourself in his presence, humble yourself, and say, Lord, I just repent of my sin. And so the psalmist says this in Psalm 66, verse 18. It says, if I cherish sin in my heart, if I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord will not listen. If I cherish, if I hold on to sin, if it's something that I love, if I hang on to it, if I keep it held tightly in my heart, the scripture says, then the Lord will not listen to your prayer. Let me ask you this. Are you living in any kind of sin? Are you continuing every day to walk in some kind of sin without having repented before God? Because I want to share with you, according to the scripture, if that's your lifestyle and you're living in sin, yet you cry out to God every night, but you're not repenting before you do so, I'm just going to go on and lay it out there. God's not listening. And you say, well, preacher, I thought God always listened to our prayers. What's contingent upon your heart? It's contingent upon where you are with God. It's contingent upon your repenting of your sin. You know, before salvation can be received, first of all, you have to repent of your sin. As a matter of fact, I want to say this. There is no salvation without the repentance of sin. What is sin, preacher? Just understanding that you missed the mark. That there's no way that you're going to be, percentage-wise, you're going to do good enough ever to make it into heaven on your own. It's understanding that you've got to cry out to a God who is willing to sacrifice His Son on Calvary's hill so that you might have eternal life. It's understanding that you're just not good enough. But I want to say something about that. I'm thankful to know, because in all of my effort, I try and do good in this, or I try and do great in that. Reality is, when it comes to me being able to earn my way to heaven, I'm just not good enough. I'm not going to get it done. I'm not going to make 100. And I want to tell you this also, God requires more than 100 if you think you're going to work your way into heaven. You're going to be good enough to get into heaven. It's really based on the blood of Jesus Christ. So here we are, we're looking at the Scripture, and He says, if you have cherished sin in your heart, the Lord will not listen. So here's what I do. This is what has to be done. I go into our prayer closet, you know, just pretend that these are walls that you can see through. And you go into your prayer closet and you get on your face before God and you say, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I cry out to You. Father, I confess my sin. Lord, my anger. Lord, that You would forgive me of my quick temper with my family. Lord, that You would forgive me for that thought that I had earlier. Father, is there any unconfessed sin that I'm hiding in my heart? Father, would You right now in the name of Jesus, would You reveal that sin to me? And then in the process of you praying and you pouring your heart out to God, God begins to listen, because your heart has everything to do with your ability to communicate with God. God begins to listen. He hears the sincerity of your heart. He feels your passion and your desire to communicate with Him and your truly repentant heart. And then He just opens the door and He says, go ahead, I'm listening. Isn't that great? Isn't it a good picture of what God really desires for us? I've prayed many times and not really know how to pray. Have you ever been there? You're praying, you don't know how to communicate, you don't know how to pray, you don't know what to pray. So you just listen. It's amazing, as you begin to listen to God, He'll begin to lay things on your heart, won't He, Brad? He'll begin to lay things on your heart, especially when it comes to a repentant heart. He'll begin to lay things on your heart and He'll say, oh, you've been very, very prideful in this area. And then you're like, Lord, no. That's, I don't want that, Lord. I throw that at Your feet, Lord. Forgive me of my prideful heart. Been there. That has to be our response. Lord, I'm just quick-tempered. Father, forgive me of my quick temper. And you throw that at God's feet and you repent of that and you cast it off. And God hears it and He takes it and He says, yeah, I'm listening, child. And He receives it and He takes it. And that door is just getting wider and wider. Do you see that picture? God is listening. So really the idea is that we would really pray Psalms 51 verse 10. Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So you have to ask God that He would take you, that He would allow you to repent of your sin, that He would take your heart and that He would create something brand new, because in and of itself, the Scripture says that your heart is only evil continually. Only evil continually. If that's the case, then I've got to approach God and I've got to say, Lord, I really just ask right now that in the strong name of Jesus, that You would just create a new heart within my soul. That You would just create something new within me. Lord, that it would really match everything that You hope for me. When we begin to do that, we can move on with the rest of our prayer. But really, I'm going to tell you, when you begin, it has to do with your heart and your willingness to repent of those sins that have just ravaged the flesh. Number two is this. When we approach God, the next thing is we have to do it with praise on our hearts or on our lips or adoration to God. We talked about that last week. Really being able to worship God. You remember I shared with you really what worship looks like. It's about you're responding to God's presence in your life. You know, there's a wonderful thing about praise and adoration to God. It really has nothing to do with your stillness. And it has everything to do with your action. Adoration, sure, God can read your mind. You understand that, right? But isn't it wonderful when you just burst out loud and say, Lord, I just praise your holy name. How do you think God receives that? Yeah, he receives it well, doesn't he? Or, Father, I just repent of my sin, but because I know that you have forgiven me, Lord, I'm just overflowing with praise. And so you have to understand what praise is all about. It's praising God. It's worshiping God simply for who he is. Lord, I'm able to praise you because I know that you are the creator. Lord, I'm able to praise you because I know that you took the dust of the earth and you formed man in your own image. And you breathed into him the breath of life. It's knowing that God has a special call for you, that there's something really marvelous about who you are as an individual and God's desire to know you personally and his desire that you know him intimately. So there it is. It's that idea of really adoring God and praising God. And so Hebrews 13 verse 5 says this, says, through Jesus, therefore let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Listen to the rest of it. The fruit of lips that confess his name. Do you see that visually? Can you see it? Because God's requirement is that we approach him continually offering to God a sacrifice of praise. And so when we come to praise God, sacrifice is involved. It costs you something. I do not believe that you can sit there in the presence of God without being moved by God the Spirit. I believe it's absolutely impossible being in the presence of God for you to sit still. I don't believe you can. I believe when God shows up that you have to respond. That's what I believe. And I believe that we're just so often we're trying to sit. I want to sit on my hands. I don't want anybody to see me worshiping. I don't want anyone to see me praising. But friends, if you expect God to hear you, if you expect God to answer you, this is what has to happen. You've got to get off of your laurels just a little bit, right? Lord, forgive me where I failed you. And then it's not just that generalized prayer of forgiveness. It's that very specific repentance. Lord, I'm praying and asking you to forgive me for my quick temper or for my prideful heart or whatever that specific prayer might be or whatever that specific sin might be. You cry out to God, and once you do that, then you just praise God for who he is. It's a marvelous thing to know that he is the creator God. Amen? Not a single one of you have a breath in your body right now without God allowing you to have that. Wow. That should cause you right now to fall upon your face before an almighty God because he's given you an opportunity. So sacrifice is required. And then here it says the fruit of lips, confess his name. So we gather together, we worship together, we praise God together, and it's about the fruit of your lips. And the fruit of your lips, praising God, sounds something like the opposite of silence. Amen? Amen? Or oh me. Oh me. Oh me it is. So, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. So here we are in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, and the scripture says this. It says, though the fig tree does not bud, so the question then is, well, when do we praise God and how do we praise God? Are we to praise God only in the up moments of our life when things are going well, or do we praise God every moment of our life because he's God? Well, I've got a scripture for you, and it's Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. It says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines. You get the picture, right? Though the olive crop fails and fields produce no food. You see it. You picture that. though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. Keyword, no grapes, no olives, no sheep. You see that picture? No cattle in the stalls. Yet, he says, I will rejoice in the Lord. Even though my life is turned completely upside down, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. How is that possible, you ask? Let me share. Because of your salvation, maybe, through the blood of Jesus? Because of the uncountable blessings that He showers upon you every day? Maybe because of your health? Maybe because of your children? Maybe so many things. Apple in the refrigerator? You don't have to have a whole fruit basket. Just be thankful for what you got, and you adore God and you praise Him for that. So here's a modern translation. Lord, even though the value of my stocks dropped, even though my 401k is sinking, even though my spouse is in the hospital, even though my teenager has wrecked our car a third time, even though I just lost my job, even though my dog has just died, yet I will rejoice in You, Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter what you're experiencing. It's the ability to be able to praise God when God shows up. It's the ability to be able to praise God in His presence. It's the ability to be able to praise God wherever you are, because you understand who God is. And so you adore Him. And then we move on. The next thing is this. You begin to praise God with your lips. Can you praise God with your lips this morning? Can you praise God with your lips this morning? What does that sound like, do you think? If you were to stand before God right now, what do you think the fruit of your lips would sound like to God? Lord. That's good. What else? Hallelujah. Amen. What else? I want to tell you, I don't think silence is part of the equation, guys. So I'm trying to help you see what praise is really all about. And so that you can have that understanding and you enter into the presence of God, you must praise Him with the fruit of your lips. And that sounds like so much more than crickets rubbing their legs together. It sounds like praise. It sounds like adoration. It sounds like glory, Father. Thank You for being my Creator. Thank You for being my Savior. It sounds like thank You, God, for Your grace. It sounds like thank You, God, for Your mercy. Thank You for giving me what I do not deserve and for withholding from me what I do deserve. Grace and mercy. Thank You for loving me despite my sinful nature. Maybe that's what praise would sound like just a little bit. I got to move on. I got other things that I've got to share with you this morning, guys. But I'm going to tell you, I'm just being candid this morning. I'm going to call it what it is. We're not praising real well this morning. We got to do better about that. It's a collective effort for all of us as we sit shoulder to shoulder together about you not being ashamed of who God is in your life. And I believe that we cannot sit still on our hands or on our feet. We've got to stand in the presence of God and we've got to shout praises to His name. Are you willing to do that today? Gosh, listen, don't thank you. Don't clap for me. Clap for King Jesus. Because I can sit up here and I can holler and scream all day long. It ain't about your response to the preacher. It's about your response to the Prince, to King Jesus. So how are you going to respond? What's your response going to be when you stand in the presence of God, or when you kneel in your quiet place in the presence of God? I've been on my knees before, so overcome with joy that I have bursted out in tears. I want to be honest with you. When my daughter began to sing a while ago, I didn't know that she was going to. And when she began to sing a while ago, it was all I could do, guys. Matter of fact, I didn't. I let it go. I just go on and tell you. But that was me praising God. Right? So we've got to be able to praise God. Number three is this. Thanksgiving unto God. That's number three. Thanksgiving unto God. And we talk about train of thought. Let me get back on the right track here. Let me swap pull that lever so that I can swap tracks. All right, we were adoring God. We were praising Him, right? Now we're giving thanks to Him. And you're like, well, preacher, what's the difference? So we praise God just because of who He is, but we give God thanks for what He does, right? The little blessings. We talked about them a little bit, and so here's what the Scripture says. Psalms 100, verse 4 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. And again, we see in Psalms 30, verse 12, oh Lord, my God, I will give You thanks forever. So I don't want you to get that confused. I want you to be able to praise God always. Praise has to do with the fruit of your lips. Got it? Yep. Loud? Yep. You got it? What's praise? Fruit of your lips. What's thanksgiving? Thanking God for what He's done. So what does that look like in your life, Lord? Thank You for my life. Lord, thank You for my family. Lord, thank You for my children. Lord, thank You for a wife that loves You. Lord, thank You for a church that desires to grow closer in a relationship with You. Lord, thank You for friends that I can rub shoulders with on Sunday morning and pray together. Lord, thank You for all of these uncountable blessings that You shower upon me. Lord, thank You, thank You, thank You. Amen. That's thanksgiving. That's thanksgiving. Lord, thank You for roof over my head. I know I don't deserve it. Lord, thank You for a job. Lord, thank You for a vehicle to get back and forth. Lord, thank You for Daddy continuing to put gas in my truck even when I can't. Lord, thank You. Right? Just thank You, Lord. Oh my goodness, I just want to do a backflip, but I know if I try, because of gravity, I'm going to hit the floor hard. I mean, it's just, gosh, God is so wonderful and He's so good. And so, we confess. Have you confessed? It's we praise. We adore. Have you done that? And then it's thanksgiving. Have you given thanks? But then here it is. We've done those things. We've confessed our sin. Then the door is open. God begins to hear. He perks up. Okay, so we've done that thing. We're taking these steps. We're doing good. We're confessing. Then we're praising God. Man. Father, I praise Your holy name. I praise Your holiness. It just moves right into thanksgiving. Now it's about intercession for others. Yeah. It's about knowing that when you're praying, when you're talking to God, it's not this Polly want a cracker kind of prayer. We do that though, don't we? Listen, I'm guilty of it also. I'm guilty of that very repetitious kind of a prayer. And God tells us in Matthew exactly how we're not to pray. And then He tells us what to do. Matthew chapter 6. I read the last part of that a while ago. Verse 5 actually in Matthew 6. He tells us how not to pray. And then he transitions that and says, but this is what you need to do. You need to go into your prayer closet. You need to close the door. And then it says that the God who is in the secret place will hear you but reward you openly. So we've gotten that picture. We've repented of our sin. We've praised God because He's allowed us to repent, because He has received our repentant heart. And we praise Him, then we give Him thanks, and now we're praying for others. I want to tell you what I could do without your prayers. Nothing. Because I draw strength. Because God binds Satan when you go to the Lord on my behalf. And then to know that you have other people praying on your behalf, to know that God listens. And so we see a beautiful picture of that. It's literally the word for this, for prayers, is to go on or to go to, on your behalf, on someone else's behalf, as it turns into intercession. You're literally going to the Lord on someone else's behalf. John chapter 17, Jesus does this. He's getting ready to go to the garden. He's praying. He starts off praying for Himself. Then He prays for His disciples. And then he transitions and He prays for all of the believers who are at that time or who will ever believe upon His name. Ever. Including you today and those future believers who will call upon the name of Christ one day. So that's what Jesus is doing. He's showing us these are the expectations. It's a really, really a beautiful picture. Hebrew chapter 7, it really paints a picture as well. But the one thing that we need more than anything, I believe, are prayer warriors who are willing to go to battle on our behalf. Amen? We need prayer warriors. We need people who are not afraid to go to that spiritual realm and smack Satan right in the face. We need people who are willing to get on their knees, to confess their sin, to praise God, to give thanks, but then they approach God's throne on the behalf of someone else. So you're sick. You write down that in the bulletin, and I receive that. I need you to know that I go to the Lord on your behalf. Just something that I do. I desire to do that. I desire to be a prayer warrior. Especially in a time where marriages are falling apart and families are falling apart and churches are falling apart. In the midst of all of this, what we need are people going to God on behalf of marriages and families and in all of these other areas in the church. We need you to become a prayer warrior if you're not already there. That's what God needs. That's what God desires. That should be your desire. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 and 19, the scripture says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests with this mind. All right, so here it is. This mind, this right here, this is where your focus has to be. You've got to be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You got to be alert. You've got to be on your toes. Why do you have to always be on your toes in the midst even of a prayer? Have you ever been praying silently and you're praying and you think you're doing really good and then your mind all of a sudden darts off over here and you're thinking about something else? You ever done that? I want to tell you, according to the scripture, you understand that Satan roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And you think because you're in a safe place that he can't get to you there, when in reality, our minds have been so desensitized because of the media and because of television and because of all of these other things, we can't even hear the voice of God sometimes. So we've got to go into that quiet place. We've got to go into that place where we can be still and know that He is God. So we've got to be alert. We've got to always keep on praying for all the saints. Scripture says, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel. Who is Jesus Christ. So that has to be our heart. We're going to God on someone else's behalf. And then finally, I want to conclude with this, supplication for your own needs. Listen, you've got to pray for yourself. You've got to pray for your own needs. You have to be willing to do that. It's to asking God that He would be willing to supply your needs. You know what I believe? That God desires to supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. Sounds scriptural, doesn't it? That's God's desire. God desires to be able to meet all of your needs. And so it's understanding the heart. It's understanding God's desire. And so David prayed. He said this in Psalms 86, verse 6 and 7. He said, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications in the day of my troubles. I will call upon you, for you will answer. It's believing with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, just like you love God. Because you've repented of your sin, because you've praised Him, because you've given thanks, because you have prayed for the others, now as you approach God, He's listening to your prayers, and God's greatest desire is not just to listen, but to respond. Do you believe that? I believe that with all of my heart. God desires to respond. Don't despair. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't back down. But you continue to keep on keeping on. You continue to humble yourself. You continue to pray and to praise and to confess and to give thanks and to intercede and to ask for supplication. You continue to do those things and you continue until one of two things. Either God calls you home to see Him face to face or Jesus returns for the saints. You got to continue on. And so maybe here you are this morning and God's been speaking to your heart about prayer, about the power of prayer, about how to approach His throne. And maybe you're here and you realize that you really don't even know about Jesus. You don't even know about God. You don't even understand that He mediates on your behalf, that He stands in the gap. And when you need to speak to the Father, you cry out to God, and Jesus goes to the throne of God the Father on your behalf. So maybe you're here this morning and you don't understand all those things. It's just rubbish. It's confusion. So I want to challenge you this morning. Before you take those next steps, here's what has to happen for you. You've got to confess your sin to an almighty God. You've got to repent of that sin. Lord, forgive me where I failed you. Forgive me for my lack of belief. Lord, come into my heart and save me from my sin and myself. Lord, I believe that you sent your Son to the earth to die on an old rugged cross on my behalf. Lord, I believe that He was buried and on the third day He rose again, and that today He sits at your right hand and you're confessing this and you're saying, Lord, I believe. Now I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my Elohim Yahweh. Be my Lord God. And I want to tell you, maybe it's the first time that you've cried out that prayer today. And I want you to know that if you're sincere and you've prayed and you've really sought God and you've repented of that sin, I want you to know today that God is willing to come and to forgive you of your sin. Now, what's the next step? It's about that you deciding that you want to honor God publicly. Can't be ashamed of it. Paul said in Romans 1 verse 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can't be ashamed of what God has done in your life. Hey, let me ask you, those who are believers, are you ashamed of who God is and what Jesus has done for you in your life? Are you ashamed? No. It's about making that known, making that public to the rest of the world. So maybe you're here this morning and you're desiring to confess your sin and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You come this morning. We're going to have an opportunity in just a minute. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been doing this prayer thing all wrong. If that's you, God begins to speak to your heart. I want to tell you something. This altar is full. We can start over there in that corner if we have to, and we can go all the way across. Today, this morning, while there's time, will you respond? Will you cry out? Will you repent? Will you praise? Will you thank God? Will you intercede? Will you ask God to meet your own needs? This morning, will you do that? Let's pray. Father in heaven, today, in the matchless name of Jesus, we come to you. We come to your throne. We ask that you forgive our sin. Father, me personally, forgive me my sin. Lord, there's nothing good or righteous in me outside the covering of the blood of Jesus. Father, I come to you as a filthy rag. But I thank you that you hear me. Father, for these who have gathered this morning, as you begin to speak to their hearts, burdening them, laying upon their hearts how they are to approach you this morning. Father, give the strength that is needed today to step out in faith. Father, we just trust you with it all, asking in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand this morning? Would you come? The altar is open today.